that's called an opportune moment for the enemy to discredit the character of God and implant lies in your head about God's love for you. Be very careful. That's why it's so important that in the time of mourning, that you can't stop the mourning. You're going to have to experience that. But in experiencing it, press really close to Jesus. Just, you say, but during mourning, I'm just weak. I'm weak. Yeah, it's okay to be a weak person when you're in the embrace of a mighty God.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. At one time or another, every one of us will experience loss. In fact, God dedicated an entire book in the Old Testament, the Book of Ruth, to the subject of death and mourning. And yet, Ruth had an amazing outcome. Here's Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Ruth and Naomi, Outlasting Loss.
Would you take out your notes as we talk about outlasting loss? Lessons for the living. We're going to talk about that today, but let's read the scripture right at the top of your notes, and let's see what happens here as God teaches us some wonderful lessons. Would you read that? Go. To everything, there is a season, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. Before I begin, let me tell you a fun story. This Scottish farmer passes away, but before he passes away, he requests, because of his ethnicity, that the song Amazing Grace would be played on bagpipes at his graveside. And so the funeral director calls his bagpiper and says, you know, would you play Amazing Grace at the graveside? And for sure. And so the funeral director says, well, the graveside ceremony will be in a couple of weeks, and he sends him an honorarium in advance for $200 to play. Well, finally the day comes, and the GPS of this bagpiper in his car looking for this rural cemetery can't find it, and the GPS takes him all over the back roads in the country, and he's lost. And so he plugs it in again, and it gets him to this field, this beautiful big field behind this farmhouse, but he's an hour late. And the only ones left are two diggers there. And when he arrives, the pastor's gone, the people are gone, the hearse is nowhere in sight. And only two diggers there. And the lid is already on, and the guys are about to bury this thing, but they're having lunch. So he gets out of the car with his bagpipes and figures, man, I've already been paid nobody's here, but I got to play because that's what they paid me for. So he just starts walking up to the gravesite and starts playing Amazing Grace. Well, when he does, the two diggers, man, they stand up in reverence because it's so beautiful. Amazing Grace. And it so touches these two gravediggers that they take off their hats and stand in respect. And they come over to where the bagpiper is playing. And when the bagpiper sees these two diggers coming, man, he just starts playing with all of his heart. Like, man, I've got an audience. So he just starts playing. And these two guys start weeping. It is so emotionally touching. And when the bagpiper sees that they're tearing up, he starts tearing up. He's never played this song with all of his heart like this before. I mean, he pours everything into it. And finally, when he's done, all three of them are crying. He puts his bagpipes away and he starts solemnly walking. I mean, it's a sacred moment. He starts solemnly walking to his car and he overhears the two diggers. And the first one says to his friend, he says, man, I have never seen this before. I've never moved so emotionally in my life. And the second one wipes his tear away and he says, me neither. And we've been putting in septic tanks for 20 years. Well, today we're going to talk about lessons we learn from a loss. Experiencing loss is something 100% of us are going to experience in this lifetime. And you say, but is it just a time to be sad? No, it's actually a time to learn. And it's so important that God actually dedicates one whole book to this in the Old Testament, the story of Ruth. is during the time of Judges. Naomi is the mother. She's married to a man named Elimelech, and they're over in Bethlehem, where Jesus will be born one day. But there's a famine, so they move with their two sons to the land called Moab, where there's food. Well, their two sons marry Moabite women. But within a year or so, Elimelech, Naomi's husband, passes away. She's struggling with that loss when both of her sons, in an accident, pass away. They expire, and now she is left with two widows for daughters-in-law. Now she doesn't know what to do. By this time, the famine is over in Bethlehem, so she says she's got these daughters-in-law. One is Ruth, and the other is Orpah Winfrey. And I think that was her last name, can't remember, but she says, you girls go back to your Moabite homes. Orpah says, okay, and she leaves, but Ruth is different. She finds faith in God, and she says to Naomi in the 16th verse of chapter 1 in the book of Ruth, she says, don't send me away, because where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, your God, my God. She finds the grace to move forward, and she'll be glad she did, because at the end of this message, I'm going to show you a little twist that not too many people know that will make everything have sense. And you'll start to comprehend that God can be trusted. God knows that all of us are going to face loss, 100% of us, 100%. And he even addresses that in the Beatitudes in the New Testament. In the Beatitudes, Jesus says it this way. He said, blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Did you know that when you mourn, heaven notices and God cares? Because when you're mourning a loss of a loved one, you are never at any time in your life the most vulnerable, for good or for bad. For the enemy to slip in and defame the name of God, cause you to blame people, cause you to be disappointed, distressed, depressed, anxious, blaming, bitter. All of these things can fall in place and cause your future to be mutated, or it can cause you to become extremely compassionate and sensitive, where you love more deeply, care more for those that are in your life at the time. There's lessons for the living, and you start to live far more intentionally. In fact, the Bible says that when there is a loss, there's more lessons to learn at a memorial than at a party. In fact, Solomon, who's known as the wisest man in the world, says that. And it'll come up on the screen. Would you read it with me nice and loudly? Go. It is better to go to a house of mourning than a house of feasting, because that is the end of every man. And the who takes it to heart? Did you know that each time we go to a memorial service, it's really not for the deceased, it's for the living. There's more lessons for the living. The deceased, they're fine, they're gone. But really, those services are for those that are still alive. And there's lessons embedded. And in every time we go to a memorial service or we hear about someone that lost a loved one, God says there's a lesson. And today I want to give you three lessons for the living and a little instruction about grieving. And we'll show you a little clip in a video. But here's the three lessons that I want you to catch whenever you're going through loss. Whenever you realize, oop, that life is over, would you remember this? Number one, life is brief. It's short. It is so transient. I mean, think about it. How fast has your last 10 years gone by? If you realize that in the next 40 or 50 years, this whole room that's now full will be empty, because we'll all be gone. That fast. I'll still be here because I'm younger than most of you, but you'll be gone. If you think about it, right now you are traveling at over 66,000 miles an hour. That's how fast this Earth is whipping through space, turning on its axis at 23 degrees. But you're going at 66,000 miles an hour. Right now, although it seems really still, you're traveling faster than the spin cycle on your washing machine right now. And a few more spins, we're done. The book of James says it this way: your life is like a vapor that appears today and is gone tomorrow. In the Psalms, it says your life is like a breath. You take 20,000 breaths a day, and you don't count any of them because they're just like automatic. And the Bible says your life is like that, just gone. The book of Job says your life is like a sigh. It's just that quick. Well, you say, well, Wayne, why does God give us such a short time on this earth? I'll tell you why. Because you were not designed for this earth. You were designed for another world. This is a stopping point. For what? Well, here's the second thing. Number two, God gave us this pause, this little short life, because we have one main assignment. One assignment. So he gives us enough time to make that assignment. Well, what is it? I was at a wedding on Thursday, and a man came up to me, a Hindu man, and he said, I know you're a pastor, and I want to ask you a question. I said, absolutely. He said, you know, the Bible is so big, has so many things in it. If you could break it down into one sentence, what's the Bible all about? I said, well, the book of John says if everything were written about Jesus were included in a Bible or a book or books, there wouldn't be enough libraries available to contain the amount of books that would be written about him. However, and then I quoted the book of John, chapter 21, and I said, or chapter 20, I said this, and let's read this. It's going to come up here. Would you read it? Go. But these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. You know, this life is long enough for you to make a decision about Jesus Christ. That'll be the most eternal decision you will ever make. God won't force that on you, but you'll have time to make that decision. For what? So that you'll end up in the citizenship where he designed us to be, which is eternity. This is a ministry place for a decision to be made, but we don't belong here. But you must make that decision. It is the most eternal decision you'll ever make. Don't miss it. The Bible says it this way, because we can get distracted. The Bible says, what profits a man if he gains the whole but loses his? Yeah, again and again, he warns us about missing that assignment. It's like a friend of mine in college. He was writing an essay, and it was to be a part of his final exam. And so he worked really hard on it, and he turned it in, and a couple days later, he got it back. And at the top, the professor wrote, great illustrations, great citations, great bibliography, grade F, wrong assignment. And I, like you, laughed and said, you idiot, what'd you do that for? And then I thought, I hope we don't stand before God one day, and he says, good house, lot of swimming pools, cool cars, F, wrong assignment. What profiteth the man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? I have a question for you. Have you completed that assignment? Because that's a part of the assignment that God gives to us for this life. If we miss that, we miss life. Because life isn't here, life is in eternity. Have you completed that assignment? If not, at the end of this service, I want to give you an opportunity to say yes to Jesus and make the most eternal decision you'll ever make. So why this whole thing about loss, and what does it say to us? Well, number one, life is brief. And number two, there's an assignment that we have to fulfill in this life. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Make sure that you have Jesus Christ in your heart, that you've received him as Lord and Savior. And the third thing is, please remember this, you won't be immune from the sins of this world, and you cannot control every event. Sorry, I know you'd like to, but you won't be immune from the sins of this world. There's physical laws like the law of inertia and motion. If a car violates a certain amount of speed and goes around a corner and just the centrifugal force takes it out of control, there could be an accident and people could pass away and die because of it. It doesn't matter if they're Christians or non-Christians. All of us have to submit to the laws of this world. The Bible says it this way. God causes the sun to rise on the just and the... And he causes the rain to fall on the just and the... And you look at our country and what's going on. It's kind of like Mr. Toad's wild ride right now. But he's put us right in the middle of it. Are we immune from all of that stuff? No. We'd like to be. God, how come? It's because I told you I'm going to put you right in the middle of a crooked and a perverse generation among whom you must appear as lights in the world. And you're not going to be immune from it, from the laws of this world. Think about it. Even Jesus was not immune from the laws of the world or the sins of man. It was at age 33 that he was crucified. And the sins of men put him on the cross and cruelly scourged him. But did that thwart God's plan? Here's the cool thing. No. Actually, it was a part of God's plan. Do you think Mary standing in front of the cross, looking at her own son, do you think she said, oh, no problem. God's got it handled. Oh, no. She wept until there was no ability to weep anymore. Did she hurt? Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. That's why the Lord says in the Beatitudes, when you mourn, heaven takes note and God cares. And so Mary understood that. But we will not be immune from the world's sins. But here's a note and a piece of instruction on grieving. Write it down somewhere. When you grieve, grieve appropriately according to God's word. Yeah. Because you're going to encounter shock and then sorrow and then anger, worry, and there's going to be bitterness, hopelessness, loneliness, and then even self-pity. Everything is going to collide before there's any glimmer of resolution. I mean, you will wrestle with it. And sometimes there's going to be a lot of back and forthing. Where I'm okay, I'm not okay. It's like waves of the sea that's going to come in. When there's a loss in your family, grief is going to come in ferociously, like a tidal wave at times. And then it's going to recede and you'll be all right. And then it's going to come in again, maybe sometimes stronger, maybe not so much, but it will come in. And sometimes at the most inappropriate, embarrassing times, you just need to excuse yourself and cry a little bit and then come back in. It's okay. That's the body's way of healing through loss. Your psyche needs to heal. And that is a natural and normal part of it. And God cares. But in the middle of that, remember, you're never more vulnerable than when you're in the midst of mourning. Because that's called an opportune moment for the enemy to discredit the character of God and implant lies in your head about God's love for you. Be very careful. That's why it's so important that in the time of mourning that you can't stop the mourning. You're going to have to experience that. But in experiencing it, press really close to Jesus. Just you say, but during mourning, I'm just weak. I'm weak. Yeah, it's okay to be a weak person when you're in the embrace of a mighty God. The righteous shall run in and be safe. It's all right to be a weak person when you're in the hands of a mighty God. But you see, what the devil wants to do is to isolate you out here. Because when you're out here is when he attacks. And sometimes we say, I just don't want to be around anybody. I remember when my dad died, and it was a hard, hard time for me, and I wrestled with it a lot. And I just wanted to be isolated from everybody. In fact, I even said it to God. I said, I don't want to hear from anybody for a while. I don't want to see anybody. I could even see myself zipping myself in a coffin. It's like, leave me alone, everybody. And I said this, even you, God. And then I stopped and I said, no, No, I need the Lord. God, I'll let you in, but nobody else. It's in the midst of those times of mourning that you're more vulnerable than at any other time. So press in to the Lord.
You've been listening to a message entitled Ruth and Naomi, Outlasting Loss, by Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. In fact, if you're going through a time of loss, please do your best to listen to tomorrow's program. It will be an encouragement to you. Until next time, for all the family at New Hope, God bless you and have a great day in the Lord.